So we talked last time about, we were finishing up the portion of the petitions dealing with spiritual blessings. And we talked, the ones that we've talked about so far are prayers regarding forgiveness of sins, power to withstand temptations, and seeking out wisdom. The next section deals with praying for, basically for faith and love. Look at Mark 9, verse 24. This is one that I always think about because I think, at least me, when things get kind of topsy-turvy or you're having a terrible time, it's easy to take your mind off of where it should be. So you can imagine this father whose son is possessed and sick and having seizures, convulsions, on falling on the ground. And verse 23, and Jesus said to them, or he asked him, he said, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can. And he said, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. It's something for us to pray for, that one, that we grow in the faith constantly, that we get to a point where we're able to handle situations and not lose our faith in Christ. I can empathize with this guy here because I think if my kid were falling on the ground and flopping around in the fire and all this other stuff, I would be in a panic over that. Most of us would be. And there's lots of other examples you can come up with. You can think in your own mind things that would scare you enough that you forget who you are. And that's what Jesus' point to us is, he says, all things are possible to him who believes. Do we believe that? And if we do, we get to this point where that helps our unbelief. So I think it's something for us to think about, something for us to pray for constantly. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. We know that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so part of our due diligence is going to God in prayer when we study God's word. When he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman. And so, I mean, James talks about it. I mean, ask for wisdom. Don't doubt it, that you're going to get it. But it involves more than us just asking. It involves, I mean, it's the idea of going to God with the idea that I want to know what God's word is for the right reason so that I can be the servant I'm supposed to be. And I'm praying for that I can be who God would have me to be. And we won't be that person if we can't accurately handle the word of God. So that requires prayers on our part. We see, if you turn to John chapter 17, I won't read the whole chapter. You could. This is the prayer that Jesus makes. And so, let's look in verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. He's praying to God here that they might know that. If they don't know anything else, know that. And so, if Jesus is praying for this, should we not be praying for this? That people all about us, that us in particular, that we never forget that this is eternal life, that we may know God. And that we may know that the one who sent Jesus Christ. That is something for us to pray for. And that's what Jesus prayed for here. One of the things. So one of the things I would suggest, look through this prayer. You'll get good ideas of things of how we should be thinking or how we should be approaching the Father in heaven, because Jesus gives us the perfect example of how that's supposed to be done. So think about that. Because you think about the disciples asking, teach us to pray. And of course we have the model prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer, but we have examples as well of what Jesus prayed for. We have examples of what the apostles prayed for later on. So we can learn a lot about how to go about this. But one of the things that we see Jesus praying for is that basically that the people might know the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. This is a prayer that Paul makes. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is something we pray for each other all the time, and we'd be right to do it. He said, that we might grow in knowledge and discernment. For what purpose? That we might know what's right. He's saying that you might approve the things that are excellent, and that we might be sincere and we might be blameless when the day of judgment comes. These are the things as far as praying for faith and love. These are the things that this is, I think, good examples of that. Now, as we kind of ended each one of these sections, we've talked about the importance of our actions in cooperation with God or in cooperation with our prayers. So, I mean, what God asks of us is that we have to be consistent. I mean, it's not enough just to pray and then our lives be inconsistent with being disciples of Christ. So, I mean, it involves the whole person. It involves everything that we do. Look in Romans chapter 12. Someone read verse 11, please.
Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
So, you know, a lot of times people want to depend on the providence of God to get them out of everything. And what he's saying here is you need to be diligent, you need to be fervent in spirit. God's going to take care of you, but there's something that you have to do. It's not just, you know, we say a prayer and then we're done and we just wait for, you know. There's a lot of people that want to think of God as Santa Claus or something, and that, you know, if I'm just real good, he's gonna give me what I want this year, type thing. We've got to change our idea of who God is and what He desires of us. So. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Someone read verse 10, please.
But even when we were with you, just we demanded to you that if any do not work, we should be eating.
Okay. So, it's a good thing for us to pray for our daily blessings. We talked about that earlier. The physical blessings that we thank God for every day. In the Lord's Prayer, He talks about praying for daily bread. But he also tells us here that our lives have to be consistent in that. For when we were with you, we gave you this order. If somebody won't work, then he shouldn't eat. So it's right for us to pray for our daily blessings. It's also right for us to go work for them. So, I mean, again, it's your life has to coincide with what you're asking for and what you're praying for. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Read verse 10. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Just praying and saying you're sorry that you sinned it good enough? We say, I prayed, I was sorry. And he's telling us here, he's saying, there's got to be a change in what you're doing. So there's got to be some effort on our end for us to get forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's something for us to do in addition to us praying for forgiveness. So, in other words, we have to be honest with God, with ourselves, that and own up to what we do. And when we do that, when we own up to that, and when there's a good faith effort on our parts to change what we're doing, if it's wrong, then God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the promise he's made. Yes, Lord.
Yeah, on that, when we do go to God in prayer, we need to, on our private prayer, we don't have to in public, our private prayer, we should name our sin. If we got trouble with envy or jealousy or control their anger or language, if we mention that to God, it makes us realize more about what we need to work on. Because so many times we just say, forgive me my sins, and that's the end of it.
I think you got a good point. I think that we need to, I mean, we almost make it too easy for ourselves if we're not careful. God forgive me. I had a bad day today. Instead of really looking at what have I done today, and how have I hurt my relationship with God for what I did. And so I think that you're right. And I mean, that's when you have to fess up to specific things that you've done, it makes you more likely to want to avoid doing those things in the future. When somebody calls you out on something, and you have to own up to it, you're going to think twice before you do it again. And I mean, I think that when we approach God, I think it's an excellent thing to do. Yes, Donnie.
Well, as Lois said, that I thought immediately of 1 John 1:9, which we know he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Then in Proverbs 28:13, he says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
I mean, that says it right there. I mean, everything that God asks us to do involves an action on our part. I mean, it's not enough just to talk about stuff, does it cause a change in your life? And I mean, that we can't. I mean, you can't overlook that. So I mean, like he said, there's to confess the sins, but also to turn away from them is what God requires of us. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So when we pray that God delivers from temptation, are we actively in our lives trying to resist the devil? I mean, what does that mean to do? It means to overcome temptations that are other obstacles that come in our way. So, I mean, we see the example of Christ when he was taken out into the wilderness and he was tempted, and he resisted the devil by quoting the scripture and knowing the difference between right and wrong and doing what was right. Are we making that effort, or are we just saying, God, deliver me from temptations, but if I meet one, I'm just going to fold. I mean, that's not anything. So we've got to actively work on our own. Turn to Proverbs 2 and verse 2. Make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. It's a good thing for us to pray for wisdom, but he says here, you need to listen when you're presented with the Word of God, And I mean, and there's, when you say incline your heart to understanding, that means, what that means is study. That we're engaged in what's being said in the Word, and we're trying to figure out what it means. So I mean, I can read all kinds of words, and if I don't know what the words mean, then I've done nothing. So we need I think it's a great thing to do daily Bible readings. But you've got to be focused on what you're reading for it to do you any good. So just so you can say, well, I read through the Bible this year. I don't remember one thing. I don't know one thing about it, but I read through it. Okay. So, I mean, it's like, in other words, it'd be like me reading. I might be able to read. I guess I could sound out the words if this was all written in Spanish, but it wouldn't do me much good. And I could go through it all and at the end of it say, yeah, I read Proverbs chapter 2 in Spanish. I didn't understand a word I saw, but I read it. So we've got to strive to understand God's word.
Ray, if you read those next three verses that you read, 2 and verse 1 to verse 2, Proverbs said, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, lift up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for his treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord.
That's it. So, I mean, how hard are we trying? And I mean, if we knew there was buried treasure out here, we'd probably be out here digging for it and working to get it. And we have the most precious treasure right in front of us. Are we working to get that? That's the question.
I think you've even mentioned it before too in your previous classes that it does us no good to pray that your will be done if we're not willing to even open the book and look to see what the will is.
What the will is. So yeah, I think that's a lot of this study is the idea that, I mean, is making sure that our lives is in alignment with our prayers is an important thing. Is it everything lip service, or are we actually trying to grow in the faith and draw nigh to God, which is what all of us want, is to get closer to God. And that means knowing His Word or being obedient to His Word and trying daily to walk in that. And when we're doing those things, God is going to hear our prayers. And if we're not, if we have no intention of doing those things, God's not going to hear our prayers, because it's just, I mean, we're just wasting time. Look at 1 John chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, and now is already in the world. And he talks about this as well, and this is what I want us to get to. One is, again, the idea of a love for God. And I mean, when someone asked Jesus one time, what is the work of God? He says, to believe the one that the Father sent. In other words, to believe in Jesus and to listen to what He said and believe what He said. That's the work of every person that God would have us to do. And here, it's the same idea is, The person that loves God here, and when we say we love God, are we testing the spirits? Do we know what God's word says? Are we striving to be obedient to that, and confessing that Jesus is who He said He was? We think about love and another spot here. He says, in verse 19, we love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. The one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God in whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have for him, that the one who loves God shall love his brother also. When we're praying to God, praying for the love of God, and we say we hate somebody else, what are we saying? Our lives, our attitudes towards God, towards other people, has to be consistent with the prayers. So that's what I mean when we talk about our actions being in cooperation with God or cooperation with our prayers. Any other comments about that?
I think we've got to be careful too, right? And not taking our relationship as children of God for granted either, because I've heard that the world, people of the world have looked at us and said, well, you can get forgiveness of sins for that. If you just go ahead and do it, you can just ask for forgiveness later. I've heard that too. We've got to be careful that we don't mistake it.
Because to me that's as blatant a sin as it gets.
Yep.
Because you're basically, it's a mockery of God to do that. To say, well, you know, to depend on the grace of God to the point of saying, well, I'll sin all the more and so that grace may abound. And Paul said, God forbid. That's not how it should be. So when we know that there's something that's wrong, the idea of overcoming temptation comes into play and avoiding sin if at all possible. The next section deals with prayer as intercession. So the idea of praying for others, not just for self. And we've kind of touched on that some in this so far, but this is what we want to talk about now. If you'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1. Someone read that. Actually read verses 1 through 4.
Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth.
So, what we're going to find out here is who should we pray for? He says all men, everybody. Now, we may be more focused on the brethren when we go to God in prayer, and I think that's right, but the idea should be that we are like Jesus in that we want to seek and save those that are lost, that anything that we can do to make people have that knowledge of the gospel or to make it easier for them to come to that knowledge, we should be doing. Praying on behalf of our leaders in you know, locally, state, federal, whatever, however you want to look at it. And I know we don't necessarily agree or like certain politicians. I mean, but we should love them. There's a difference between liking and loving. That's one thing. And two, the idea that God requires it on our behalf to pray for them. Why, what for? So that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life. So that in this country, to this point, we can go out and share the gospel with anybody we want to, and nobody's going to... I've not heard of anybody getting put in jail for that in this country. Might get made fun of, might have some... I mean, there may be some other issues that come up with it, and at some point there may be a bigger issue with it. But right now, you don't hear that problem. State police are not going to come knocking on your door if they hear that you taught somebody the gospel. So, what was you getting ready to say for this?
You just said it tells us why.
Tells us
why. Pray for them so that we can live a quiet, peaceful life. Yeah. It's for our good that we pray for them.
We're only glorifying God when we live like that. People see that in us. That brings glory to Him. And that's what we're here for.
And I've been guilty about this in the past, getting frustrated with things that I hear politicians say and all this kind of stuff. But the fact of the matter is that I don't know how much good it does to complain about it. I don't know how much good it does. I mean, it's, I think it's right and good for us to say, if they say something that's a sin, to say, well, that's just wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. But to blast them, talk about people like they're stupid and things like that, probably doesn't help anything. So we need to think about these things and pray to God for them. So turn to Romans 13. One through seven. Again, this deals with this idea of praying for our secular leaders. It says, every person is to be in subjection to the government, to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority is opposed to the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Now, one thing I'll say is this. We can be in subjection to the government and not necessarily agree with them. I mean, when Jesus, when they put the coin in front of him, and they said, you know what? And he says, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and give to God the things that are God's. If we remember that, if the government asks us to do something that we know is a sin, then we're gonna not do it because we want to give to God the things that are God's. When the government says you got to pay this much tax, then we just need to pay that much tax whether we like it or not. I mean, that's just so. I mean, that's the idea of this. Verse 3 says, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is the minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers or servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So we need to be praying for our leaders, but also living a lot, being a good citizen, basically, is what we need to do. We also pray for all Christians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that the utterance might be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Now, he says here, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So, it's a good thing for us to pray for not only the brethren here, which is easy because we see each other all the time. We know, I mean, it's so. We're concerned for each other and those things. But praying for Christians all over the world that they might be able to stand, remain faithful to God, and that much good might come from the work that they're doing as well. Colossians chapter 1. Someone read that. I won't read all that. Colossians 1, I'll start in verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world it is bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God and truth, just as you've learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. And if you look, as we go on to the next part of this, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his own glorious might, for the attaining of all the steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That's the prayer that we need to have for all Christians. He says that we might be filled with knowledge and spiritual wisdom and understanding so that we can walk worthy, and that we might bear fruit for God. We can pray that for any Christian, and we should be. And that's we see that's what Paul did. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as how I unceasingly make mention of you, always in my prayers, making requests, perhaps now at last by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established. He was praying for the welfare of the church at Rome, and his prayer was that he might get to them so that he could do something to help them. More than, and apparently they were doing a lot of things right, but he wanted to strengthen them in the faith, that they might grow in the faith. And again, so it's a good thing for us to do as well, that we might pray for our fellow brethren to be strengthened in the faith. Another thing we can pray for Christians is prayer for their spiritual and physical prosperity. Look at 3 John. Someone read verses 2 through 4.
Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came to testify unto the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
So what's he praying for here? Praying for their spiritual prosperity, praying for their physical prosperity. Pray that you might be in good physical health too. And he tells you here, I mean, what he really thinks here, he says that... He said, "When I hear the brethren are walking in the truth, I have no greater joy than this, than to hear that. That my brothers, the fellow Christians are doing what's right. And it's an encouragement to us when we see it. And so that's something that we can pray for with our brethren. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 7. Now we pray to God that you do no wrong, not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you may do what is right, even though we may appear unapproved. For we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. For we rejoice when we ourselves are weak, but you are strong. This we also pray for, that you may be made complete. For this reason I am writing these things while absent, so that when present I need not use severity in accordance with the authority which the Lord gave me for building up and not for tearing down. Now, we remember that the members, that there were some problems in the church at Corinth. And he's praying here, and we know in 2 Corinthians that the problem was taken care of. And he's saying we rejoice and I'm writing these things down to you so I can help you right now, so I don't have to come and find out that you're not doing what's right. So praying for the brethren to be strong and to be doing what's right, so that we can avoid, I mean, nobody wants, I can tell you that Mark or I don't want to have to talk to somebody about church discipline necessarily. It's not going to be a pleasant talk to have. It's ideally what happens is people do what's right, and then you don't have, then we can go on and worry about being fruitful in the kingdom. Now, discipline is something that sometimes is a necessary thing. But I think most of us that have had kids, we would rather our kids just do what's right and not have to do that. And that's what God would rather us do as well. Just do what's right, and then you don't have to have the other problem. So let that be part of our prayer as well. I'll stop there this evening. Now next week, I think Brother Ron will be here next week. And then I'll have one more lesson, I think, in the quarter. And then I think the next week, Johnny's here for that. So I don't know that I'm going to get through everything, but we'll do the best we can. Any other comments or questions? Thanks.